world is captivated by smoke. When are we going to see the white smoke? Even the journalists, there's so many that have made their way to St. Peter's Square to wait to see what's going to come out of the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. And that's where we begin here on America Tonight. Luke Vargas, who covers the UN for Talk Radio News, is with us. Luke, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. I understand that this would be the leader of the Catholic Church, but doesn't it seem like there's more focus on this than ever?
It is amazing. I was just back home in Boston.
Well, it seems as though the world is captivated by smoke. When are we going to see the white smoke? Even the journalists, there's so many that have made their way to St. Peter's Square to wait to see what's going to come out of the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. And that's where we begin here on America Tonight. Luke Vargas, who covers the UN for Talk Radio News, is with us.
And Luke, the government forces in the U.S. saying that both are guilty.
I understand that this would be the leader of the Catholic Church.
The UN released like there's a partially detailed...
All right, here we are on America Tonight. Sorry about that, folks. Starting off the show, you know, some of the big things that are happening, obviously, in the news is what's happening with the situation with the Pope and the fact that right now, anyway, there is no Pope, meaning they still haven't come up with who that's going to be, meaning the conclave hasn't done that. That's 115 cardinals still waiting for that smoke, as I said, to change from black to white. Thousands of people are gathered in St. Peter's Square to wait for that. A lot of them happen to be Americans because there's a chance that an American could be named as Pope. The cardinal from Cardinal Dolan from New York is thought to be the heavy favorite. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about this hour of America Tonight. We're also going to talk to our pal Stephen Shohat, as we always do each and every Tuesday. This time it's going to be about Michael Crichton and the Jurassic Park series and just how huge that was and how far it can go. There's been some talk about possibly extending that. Can you imagine? What else could you do with those dinosaurs? But the big push right off the top here at the start of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, is what's going on as far as the Senate Democrats and the budget is concerned. The Senate Dems are going to release a competing budget, and the competing budget, of course, is a competing budget to that of Paul Ryan's, and very different from Paul Ryan's. A lot of the spending and taxing, they're talking about $1 trillion. So the Senate Budget Committee Chair, Patty Murray, we'll formally unveil that on Wednesday. The plan was tossed around with the president over lunch at the White House. It's about, actually it's even more than a trillion. It's $1.85 trillion in deficit reduction over the next decade. $100 billion in new, what they're calling stimulus spending, that's supposed to fire up the labor market. Doesn't that sound like PR spin to you? I'm not trying to be caustic about it. I'm just saying it sounds like some aide got it and then punched up the copy a little bit. So from what we know about the Senate Democrat budget, they're proposing $1 trillion in tax increases. This is what Rubio said, that will kill jobs and make it harder for job creators to do what they do best. So neither Murray nor Ryan's plan will ever become law. Let's face it. That's the reality of that. But the competing measures are kind of interesting because they're varied in some key points in Congress's push to pass a budget for the first time since 2009. Isn't that crazy? And I guess that's what I was getting at in my roundabout fumbly way here is 2009, that is the last time that we have had a budget. It just seems inconceivable to me that for all these years we can't figure out a way to at least get close to some semblance of that. Imagine, folks, if you ran your household that way, with all the bills and everything else that's coming in, and you had no budget, no awareness of how you were going to actually cut down the amount of money that you owed because you couldn't afford to do it. So you're caught in what we call a quandary, right? And we've been caught in that quandary since 2009 and before that. The bank's too big to fail, I think, really failed us without a doubt. Without a doubt. Moving on to something else that we're going to talk about, obviously, this hour, too, besides the Pope and budgets, is the fact that, you know, there's this push-pull still going on with guns and lawmakers. So you have the VP, Joe Biden, saying that the Second Amendment clearly states that the forefathers were thinking about what kinds of weapons were, were acceptable. In other words, what should be tossed, what could be tossed out, that we could look to the Second Amendment, and clearly you can say that there were some things that would not fit the bill, meaning assault weapons, that an assault weapon ban fits into what they were thinking about, the framers, when they put our Constitution together. And I think what a stretch that is. I reread the paragraph over a couple of different times. I say paragraph, it's really a couple of different lines, which if you look at the Second Amendment, it says clearly a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So where does that say that you have to cherry pick what the weapons are? I don't know. Am I looking at this in a ridiculous fashion? Is it when we look at the weapons that are available, should there be bans on certain kinds of weapons? Am I all wet on the opinion of, you know, hey, this is not at all what was in those few lines in the Constitution? Because I think it's the opposite. I think the Constitution was put in place so that you wouldn't have any kinds of bans on people who wanted to be able to protect themselves in their homes. But we understand the sensitivity and the timing of it because of what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. So this is what continues to happen when we talk about gun control measures in Washington. Anything, any kind of rope, any kind of edge, anything that they can figure out how to get to kind of click on this as it moves further down. Now, extensive background checks passed the first hurdle. Democratic votes mostly. 10-8 was the final vote tally, and this was just in a committee. It doesn't go yet to a full vote of the Senate, but the fact that passed, extensive background checks extending that, we'll see how far that gets with a full vote. I think it may pass with a full vote, but then you ultimately, if that gets kicked to the House and the House is worrying or crafting their own legislation, whether or not they'll pass that, whether or not they'll pass something similar, I'm going to say probably no. So we might not see very much come out of this in the end for the, with the back and forth over what should be and what shouldn't be in gun legislation. How about some common sense? Could there actually be a rational discussion, just a common sense discussion? Lay it all out. Here's this, 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 and this. What do you really want to see from your schools? What scares you to death as a parent when you look and you see the images of Newtown, Connecticut? You want your kids to be safe. How do you keep them 100% safe? The answer is you can't. You can't keep them 100% safe. But if you had an off-duty police officer who was armed, you'd have a better shot, that's for sure, at stopping the people who might want to come in and harm them on the off chance that that happens. Hang with us. Much more to come here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. When the big black car said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me? Ooh-hoo. But I said, no, 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 I said, no.
Well, welcome
no.
back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. At the top, talking about a couple of different things. You know how we fire things off here on this show. Sometimes it's like a pinball machine. We bounce from side to side. So budget, obviously, the big battle in Washington. It sort of falls on deaf ears, doesn't it? It's like I tried to explain there. We all go through this in our daily lives. And I understand we're talking about a much different situation with a giant hurdle of a federal budget. And maybe that's what it is. If you're a career politician, for goodness sake, so we've elected you, and with all these career politicians, nobody can figure out a way to balance a budget. Nobody can make sense of it. It's like Swiss cheese. It's like it's, you know, that's what our budget turns out to be. And, you know, it's not rocket science, is it? It's not. It's looking at what you have and looking at what you don't have and figuring out a way to make the two meet in the middle somehow, but we never seem to do that. It's mind-boggling. I'm getting off the budget, though, I promise, and talking instead about what is down the road for the Republicans. And when I say that, this seems to be a lot of the banner outside of the Beltway. What's going to happen in 2014, because so many of the Republicans are trying to figure out a way to gear up and be in the right place and pull the party together. Now that the Democrats have had, you know, their second win of the White House, what is it that the Republicans need to do? And in meetings across the country, there are groups who are doing exactly that, figuring out what they can do to unite Republicans moving forward, whether it's locally or on a federal level. And it's interesting because Laura Bush just did an interview with Aaron Burnett of CNN, where she talked about the party scaring off women. I'll explain. I want you to hear what she said. Listen to this.
Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't say that necessarily. And every candidate was different. You know, each one of them, there were obvious examples of candidates that were, that I think frightened some women, but they were the exception rather than the norm in the party. And, you know, all of those social issues are very, very heartfelt by people. And I understand that. There are differences. And people, you know, there just will be. And I'm glad that in our party we have room for all of them. I think that's important, too.
All right, so what she was talking about when she was saying about the differences, she's talking about the social issue, meaning the issue of rape and incest and pregnancy. Todd Akin running against Claire McCaskill for the Senate seat in Missouri. That, of course, was one of the things. That's one of the hot-button things. And Murdoch in Indiana and what he had to say and how that blew up in both of their faces and how women were upset over those comments. And that's what she meant by that. And then you had Claire McCaskill, who was on MSNBC, Morning Joe, the Joe Scarborough show, and she threw her two cents in, not in response to anything with Laura Bush, but said that, you know, here's the problem with the Republicans. They had to figure out a way to get their extremists together, and how can they pull the party together if that's what they have, if the opinions are so varied, but it's not just a little difference of opinion, it's a huge difference. There is a huge fight that is really brewing with the Republicans. That's what McCaskill says, that they're not so worried because that they're shooting themselves in the foot, basically, with people like the Akins and the Murdochs, and the fact that you truly have a party that is splintered. And the extremists are killing the party. That was what McCaskill said. So do you think the Republican Party needs a facelift? What do you think the Republican Party is doing well or isn't doing well? Is it just a matter of tweaking social media, a ground game, that kind of thing, reaching out to more people, expanding the people that are reached out to? On a federal level, anyway, if we talk about 2016 and who the candidates need to go and speak to, I think that there's this push to try to fix something, to try to fix conservatives, and you're not going to do that. If you're a true conservative, am I right, folks? You inhale those values and you stick by them. I think the problem is that you've had some Republicans, some of the politicians who are running for office, who are willing to bend like a willow in an effort to get elected, and then they run into problems. Because even this time around with Romney, there were a lot of Republicans that didn't want to vote for Romney because they didn't like his message. They felt like on some things he was talking out of both sides of his mouth. And so to me, you really need the candidate that is to the core what they appear to be. They're not going to bend, they're not going to manipulate themselves like a pretzel for the sake of just getting elected. And, you know, does that person exist? It's interesting because Claire McCaskill pointed out that one of the nutballs was Senator Ted Cruz, that he was a guy who had no clue. And Senator Cruz is doing whatever he can to rally conservatives. And in the eve of CPAC, that's exactly his role. It's the big bash. The titans are gathered together on Wednesday night to determine who the best lawmakers, activists, and whatnot are in the business. And they attend CPAC, and it's some interesting things that they've added this time around include Michael Schwartz, the former chief of staff to Senator Tom Coburn, who sadly succumbed to ALS in February, but this was a guy who was all conservative all the time. So you got the Texas Senator Cruz, who's the keynote speaker at the dinner, and then the list of people goes on. Senator Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Daryl Issa, Congressman Daryl Issa, and then Governor Bobby Jindal. That could be like all the president's men right there, because half of those people are the people who are being considered in 2016. I don't know about Cruz so much, but certainly Rand Paul and Marco Rubio. The only one missing is Chris Christie, which I still think is a very, very big mistake. But it'll be interesting to see what comes out of CPAC, if anything, as far as what the thought is with the conservative movement and Republicans heading into what could be a very interesting 2014. And then before you know it, we'll be talking about 2016 and who's running in 2016. You just can't please all the people. So when these questions come out and Claire McCaskill says, yeah, the extremists are atrophying the party, and then you have Laura Bush saying, women, frighten a few women, There's something to that in the middle of that. However, the bottom line is, I think more than anything else, you have to have people who are willing to just be who they are instead of bending to the will of that political power. I think term limits are so huge. And I think that when you've got term limits, once somebody's been in there, been in the Washington game, for goodness sake, keep them out of the lobbyist movement. Because if you go back and you take the staffers and you ultimately were to build some kind of a pyramid, what you would find is, speaking of bases, that a lot of the lobbyists come from those political offices. And, you know, who are you going to show love to? And this is how you get that incestuous hornet's nest that turns into what it ultimately turned into in Washington. All right, we're going to lighten the load. Coming up on the flip side, of course, Stephen Shohead as we go to Hollywood. We're talking a little Michael Crichton and Jurassic Park. Stay with us.
Come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up. I leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie, Stephen Shohead. And he joins us each and every week here on America Tonight. So lucky to have him. He's a great storyteller. Michael Crichton, you know the name. I've read all of Crichton's books. Maybe some of you have. You certainly know Jurassic Park. That's his baby. And Jurassic Park is about to be re-released in 3D. So, welcome to the show, of course, again. You having a good week, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, it's very good, Kate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, 3D Jurassic Park, wow, what's that going to be like? That might be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to scare people probably more than the movie originally did, and it should look amazing. I mean, they have the one scene in the movie where the two kids were in the car, and they weren't expecting the Tyrannosaurus Rex to come through the glass. The glass broke, and so their screams were real. And seeing that on 3D, definitely will be more amazing. Now, having said that, 3D movies, re-release, but like, for example, Disney re-releasing The Lion King, it didn't do quite as well as they were expecting. So there's been sort of a slowdown in the idea that you could take all these old films and re-release them and get big box office, but I think Jurassic Park will be able to do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Did you see all the Jurassic Park movies?
I've seen all of them. I've read the books. Boy, I'm very impressed that you've read all of Michael Crichton's books, because there's a ton of them.
I know. I just really liked them, and I started to go through one by one and pick them off, and I really, really enjoyed them. They're probably one of the – just kind of a little hidden gem is one called Airframe.
Yeah, I read mm-hmm. Airframe. I read Airframe. Did you read the ones that you wrote in under different names in college?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep, I dug up everything I could on him because I just really liked his writing style so well. And Michael Crichton, this wasn't, you know, originally his course, was it?
No, he was going to be he was going to go into medicine. And then he just, of all his books that he wrote, and I read most of his books, but I haven't read all like you have. His favorite book was Travels. And it described the Travels is a bunch of essays and autobiographical. And it described the teaching at Harvard and how frustrated he was with the medical procedure there. He was frustrated with patients. He thought patients should look to doctors as advisors, not miracle workers.
Yeah.
And he was also frustrated with the quality of the teaching, not only in the medical school, but he once took an essay by Jonathan Swift, and he copied it, and he turned it in, and he got a B-. He did that to make a point, just to show that the teachers weren't up to his standards. And then he found that he could teach in a way by writing novels and make points and sort of have a bully pulpit with novels. And at Jurassic Park, I mean, he didn't really think that there was a danger that people were going to clone dinosaurs, but he did think there was a danger with biotechnology and genetic research and not respecting science and nature. So that was the point of Jurassic Park. Although he did say that if you have a dinosaur story, then you have to have the dinosaurs munch on people. You're kind of prisoner of the genre.
Yeah, oh yeah, no kidding. You know, it's interesting too, Michael Crichton, and of course I don't know, I only know from rumors, but you know, he was a guy, it wasn't just about film, but he spawned a lot of careers, like George Clooney's with ER. So why the TV? What drew him to television? I guess it was television first.
I think that was kind of an accident. I think that's more Spielberg deciding that they were going to make the ER to be a film. And then I think Spielberg became more interested in Jurassic Park and decided to table ER and then release it as a pilot for a potential series. So I think that was more Spielberg's decision than Michael Crichton. But it's amazing that Michael Crichton is the only human in history to be executive producer of the number one TV show and the creator, have the best-selling novels, two novels, number one, I think, Rising Sun and Disclosure, and to at the same time have the number one movie, with Jurassic Park all going on. So it's just incredible. I don't know if anybody will ever equal that. And he stayed producer of ER until his death, actually. So he was involved in that series the whole time. I don't know how he did all this stuff. I mean, I know that he hardly ever slept. I know that he was 18 hours a day. And he just got really engrossed in everything he did. But, I mean, he wrote essays about the nature of happiness. He was constantly interested in things the government was doing to prevent research to cure diseases. He was only writing about science. I mean, Rising Sun, a novel. He always said it was a novel about America, rather than Japan, but he still has a couple of things that might be produced eventually. He has two posthumous novels, Pirate Latitudes and Micro, and Pirate Latitudes is a different turn for him. I mean, takes place in Port Royal in the 17th century. No science in this one, about the privateers of the time. And although it's not scheduled yet, Spielberg would like to turn that into a movie too. So his influence isn't done yet. And he also, on top of all that, directed movies and made Westworld, the first movie to ever use computer generated images. He's just an amazing person. And I don't think we'll ever see anybody like him again, at least, not for quite a while.
Oh no, and it's like you said, you go back and you look at all of the things that he wrote, and under the pen names John Lang and Jeffrey Hudson, and then that was re-released, that was A Case of Need. But his very first one came out in the 60s, Odds On. I mean, it's just stunning. That's what drew me to him, because liked his book, so I started to do research on him. And it's just, absolutely amazing. The brain, the way his brain worked, is, as you said, the amount of things that he could do, and the fact that he never slept, obviously.
No, I mean that's what he said, that he's go to bed at 10, wake up at 2. And to turn out such quality. Although he was self-deprecating when it came to his writing. He said he wasn't looking for great prose. He was looking for clarity, and he calls himself kind of a seventh grade writer sometimes, and I think that's not really fair. I mean, to himself, and then the one book of all the books he wrote, the one book that really was a risk for him, if not financially, then personally, was State of Fear, because to suggest that man-made global warming is not an accurate thing, to do that amongst the Hollywood crowd, it certainly didn't go over well with a lot of his friends. In fact, he said that he got invited to a lot less dinner parties. And State of Fear, you know, I'd be surprised if that is ever made into a movie, even though it has very, very thrilling moments. Unfortunately, Hollywood's probably too politically correct to cover that. Although with some of his movies like Rising Sun, they kind of ended up taking the bite out of it. But I don't think we'll see State of Fear as a movie anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you think he had any favorites when it came to actors?
Yes, I do. Sean Connery, definitely. In fact, the character of Connor in Rising Sun was written for Sean Connery.
Mm.
So yeah, I definitely think so. Remember, he directed Sean Connery in the movie The Great Train Robbery.
Yeah, that's right.
So they got along splendidly. And he always said, one thing he said about Sean Connery, and I don't know if he still does this, but in the book Travels, Michael Crichton said that Sean Connery ate with his hands.
Really?
They go into a restaurant and they'd order a big steak, and he would pick it up and eat it with his hands, Moroccan style.
Yeah, that's brutal.
But he's, you know, he just loved him. And Sean Connery was quite a character, and it's too bad. I was kind of disappointed with the Academy Awards that we didn't get to see all the Bonds on stage together. I thought that was going to happen. So, yeah. Sean Connery's really fallen out of the spotlight, got fed up with making movies when he made The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen a few years back, and the schedule took a lot longer than he had anticipated, and he decided to call it a day as far as his movie career goes. So hopefully he's doing really well. And it was absolutely shocking when Michael Crichton died, because he was such a private man. Nobody knew outside his circle that he was suffering from throat cancer.
Yeah, I remember that. Just 66 years old, died in 2008. I was stunned, because usually you hear that. You get reports about people who are ill or who are battling cancer, and you never, ever heard anything about him. You're absolutely right. Have fun on your trip, because you're gone for 3 weeks. Wow, we're going to miss you, and we'll catch you back when you come back from taking a few weeks off.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. We really enjoy our conversations with Stephen Shohat and pick up Hollywood stories. It really is a terrific read. He's such a great storyteller. It's an easy read. HollywoodStories.com, too. You can go there and catch more. And what a great topic, talking about Michael Crichton. And he, when he sent me a note about that, it's funny. It made me think about all the Crichton books that I read and all the places I dragged them around with, all the different places that I lived and just kept digging and digging. And it is really absolutely stunning. People just automatically think of him in Jurassic Park, but there was so much more to Crichton. And if you just, I'm sure you can go on Wikipedia and you start to look up his stuff, and you will be stunned, my friend, stunned. Odds and Ends coming up on the flip side here on our final turn.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's health care one American at a time.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, will be held March 16th and 17th at the Nashville Expo Center and Tennessee State Fairgrounds. Admission is free and doors open at 9 a.m. Come join us to learn life-saving techniques to help you and your family handle crisis situations. Meet Nat Geo's Dennis McClung to see if you have what it takes to be on the next season of Doomsday Preppers. Walk through a bomb shelter, learn first aid, CPR, and much more. For more information, go to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
And while you're at the NPS Expo, meet and speak with Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. If you take pharmaceutical drugs and wonder why side effects require you to take more drugs, Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Wallach has the answer. Hear how he took on the FDA 8 times and won every time. Don't miss Dr. Joel Wallach at the National Preppers and Survivalists Expo, March 16th and 17th. Admission is free. Log on now to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round, and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
But still no white smoke. The world descending on St. Peter's Square. I talked about that at the top of the show, so I thought I would bring it back around at the end of the show. The fact that a couple of Americans are actually seriously being considered to be the next pope is really stunning, because it's always an Italian or somebody else. You know, Ratzinger the last time around could be a German background, European, from Poland. You know, we could go through the list. A lot of the popes tend to be from Italy. But now the church trying to, I think, get away from the scandals, especially the sex abuse scandals. In fact, in L.A., they just settled. Cardinal Roger Mahoney and a former priest have agreed to pay a total of $10 million to settle 4 child abuse cases brought against them. Mahoney retired in 2011 as head of the largest U.S. diocese and is now in Rome taking part in choosing the new pope. And he was accused of helping a confessed pedophile priest evade law enforcement, you know, pretty much by sending him out of state to a church-run treatment center. Then, and this is the sad part, placing the priest back in the ministry in Los Angeles somewhere. So $10 million to settle those cases. Wow. Scandals over sex abuse in the U.S. Catholic Church are legendary now. They erupted in the early 90s. those molestation cases that were uncovered in Boston, and it's cost the church billions and billions of dollars. In fact, the what's happened in like Los Angeles, wow, the amount that they've settled, they have 4 million Catholics in L.A., give or take, right? They reached a $660 million civil settlement in 2007 with 500 victims of child molestation. 500 victims. I mean, at least there is some justice in that, some justice, because I don't think you ever get away from it. But at least the people who were abused finally got to see the Catholic Church squirm and had to repent in a much different way. So who will be Pope? Who knows? But that's a story that's going to drag on probably through Thursday. They may have one or two more votes, and the odds-on favorite, there is none, except for that we know two Americans and a couple of other cardinals are right there, maybe on the short list. But geez, you never know. What would you say if I told you another Bush was running for a Texas office? It's true. George Prescott Bush filed the paperwork Tuesday to run for land commissioner next year, hoping to use the post to continue that political dynasty, I guess, in Texas. And he is a favorite to get that office, and he has aspirations of going further on the national scene, so this might be the first step. Isn't it funny, these legacy families? It's like people are speculating as to whether or not you would see Chelsea Clinton getting into politics, and she's been hinting that she just might do that, so there would be another Clinton trying to get elected somewhere, and then the Bush family kind of being like the Kennedy family, spreading out, because there's a lot of younger Bushes who are interested in going down that same road. I guess when you sit at the dinner table and you hear about all the things that are happening and all the political power that sometimes you wield, and just being in the middle of everything, it kind of drips off and filters into the younger minds, and then they get interested in it. How about this story also, as I kind of mix things up a little bit, about Michael Vick. Michael Vick having to cancel a book tour. Why would you think Vick would have to cancel a book tour? Because he's getting credible threats that he could be shot at. And there's planned protests and whatnot. He publishes a book. He releases an autobiography. And remember, he spent 18 months in prison for dogfighting. But since getting out of prison, he's done whatever he can to try to rebuild that image. And he's getting a second chance in some senses, but he's not getting it when it comes to really being among the people. So he was going to promote the book, Finally Free, but he had to cancel the dates across the country after Barnes & Noble and independent bookstores were getting threats about his appearances. So it was pretty eye-opening, I would say, that he may have lots of fans, and he might be getting countless positive letters, but there's enough people that are not thrilled with Michael Vick and the fact that he, like, got a dog for his family last year. He's trying to show kids how to have a healthy relationship with animals, but there's still people who are not buying Michael Vick, and they just do not want anything to do with him and a release of anything. And there's no second chance so much for Vick. And remember what had happened. It was really brutal with all the descriptions of what went on in this with the dogfighting. And really, he served all that time in prison. I say at some point, though, you got to say to yourself, I mean, come on. There are people who have murdered people and did less time in prison than Michael Vick, believe it or not. So he paid his dues. It's probably some nutballs. But enough of them that if they say it's credible, enough that he wasn't willing to go and take the chance. Somebody was waiting to do him in, let's say. Moving on to a couple of things that we talked about a lot here on ATN, including the Supreme Court ruling. You know, you've got this ruling in recess power that's been a huge dispute. And the president is looking to push this. The administration is asking the court to reverse a three-judge panel's ruling that the president violated the Constitution by making appointments to the Federal Labor Board without Senate approval. The National Labor Relations Board released a statement saying it's not going to seek review by the full Court of Appeals for a ruling that Obama's 2012 board appointments were unconstitutional. And the picks were made after Republicans refused to consider Obama's nominees were constitutionally invalid because the Senate wasn't in recess at the time. And I think you know what I'm talking about. They think there's going to be more challenges to this. One of them was the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the director, Richard Cordray, who was named at the same time the board members were gone. And that really raised a lot of red flags. Can you make these appointments when there's a recess happening? And it has happened before. President Clinton made 139 recess appointments. I looked this up. And Republican President George W. Bush made 171. Obama, if I'm counting correctly, is up to 32. So think about this. The ruling could challenge about, I don't know. So that, how many did we add up there? Maybe a little less than this, but 600 decisions since January 2012 by the National Labor Relations Board. That'll keep a lot of lawyers busy, won't it, if they end up doing that? Ooh, 600 decisions. That is crazy. Remember, you can always hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. How do you do that? You go to americatonight.net and hook in there. We have the latest on what's happening around the country and live feeds and some of the things that you might have missed. There's also an app you can get at GCN for the show, America Tonight. Then if you want to listen to the show during the day or any time, you just hit the app and you're in. You can take us around in your pocket. Imagine that.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you. Rules all at the same time?
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.